Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome back to Behind the Glass, the Seen Through Glass podcast. I'm your host, Sam. This is Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Good afternoon.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to say anything, but that's okay.
Sorry.
We are in Tony's ongoingly built new showroom. This isn't going very well, is it? Your new showroom, which is still
office.
Not built.
Offices.
New office. It's improving every time we film here. It's improving. We've got desks today. We've got chairs. There's a little side table over there. Hopefully one day it will look really good.
And we'll work from here
and we'll do podcast shows from here.
Yeah.
Anyway, if this is your first time ever watching Behind the Glass, this is the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the automotive YouTube scene and the car scene in general. Tony is the automotive insight man, I am the social media insight man, and together we make a force that makes not much sense at all, ever. So please bear with us. However, you can subscribe here on YouTube to watch podcast episodes every week. They go live on Sunday evening, so hit the subscribe button, hit the little bell to make sure you get notifications if you do subscribe. If you want to hear us only, if you don't like seeing our faces, which I don't blame you about at all, you can listen to us on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcasts. Right.
And brief.
Housekeeping out of the way. As you probably heard, I do have a little bit of a cold. I've just got back from Norway with the Team Galag snow tour, which was exhausting. But the most important thing that I want to talk about, the thing that I missed whilst I was away, is Tony collected his brand new Lamborghini Huracan Performante.
I did.
And have you bought a matching jacket?
No.
I was so excited that maybe you had. If you haven't seen pictures of this car, it is one of the best spec'd Huracan Performantes, I think, in the world. What is the actual colour called? Do you know?
Verde Hydra.
Which is a very, very dark green. It's probably the green that I was actually aiming to go with my Porsche 718 Cayman wrap. But I'm actually happy with how my wrap turned out. And Tony's jacket today, for those of you who are listening only, is a very close colour to the colour of his lap. Mate, that is verde... green.
Verde Hydra.
Verde... No, what? That's just a verde.
It's like a khaki.
If you stood next to your car, you would blend in with it.
Okay.
Tell me everything.
What do you want to know?
Well, is it good?
It's incredible.
Because last time I saw you, you were terrified about this incoming car.
I was terrified because I don't like Lamborghinis.
Well, there you go. And now you've got one. But you love it.
I like this one.
Okay.
I need to make it very clear. I'm still not a fan of Lamborghini, the brand. But this car is incredible.
What is it about this car that is so good? Because I haven't driven it.
No, you need to.
I will.
You will. It reminds me of a Ferrari.
Okay, but so my experiences of Huracans is, firstly, they're uncomfortable. I don't really fit in them. They make great noise. They're quite easy to drive, but they don't give you much more. It's always felt like a poser's car in a brilliant kind of way. Like, don't get me wrong, I think that's a fantastic attribute of that car. But I've never really got in it and gone, I really want to push this. And the only time I have is was in a Huracan Spider in California, and I don't know.
But they're different cars.
So the Performante, it just feels more alert, feels terrifying.
Feels light on its feet. It just
purposeful.
Doesn't, yeah, no understeer. It feels like a Ferrari.
It does look very freaking mean.
Yeah.
Like, it does really, like, I came around the corner today, saw it parked outside, and I was like, hello.
Hello.
Tony's got a Lamborghini. So weird. I never thought I'd be saying that. But
no, nor did I.
Well, you said something the other day in Paul Wallace's video, Supercars of London, which shocked me to the core. I actually paused it for a second, threw up in a bin, and then kept watching. You said that you wouldn't sell a Huracan Performante to buy a Speciale, the car that since I've met you, you've been trying to buy.
For sure. Now, maybe I wasn't that clear in that because I was in the moment.
Sure.
The reason why I said that is because it's all things considered. So I'm considering age of car, mileage, price, the Performante.
Multiple factors rather than car versus car.
Yeah. So...
But Tony, you've wanted a Speciale all your life, essentially.
Yeah. Well, since it's been out, not all my life. It's been out for
I know, but still, all the life that I've known you. This is a huge thing. You keep saying it like it's like such a blasé, like, yeah, but I'm considering all the factors. But like that's your like hero car.
Okay, put it this way then. I wouldn't swap it for a Speciale now.
Right.
But it would be very hard for me to choose between that and the 488. Because I think the 488 is a better car than the Speciale.
Okay, well, hold on a sec then. Because the most interesting question, I guess, supposed to be, is that this week we started to see the first supposedly leaked images of the 488 Speciale GTO lightweight superfast, whatever it's going to be called.
Ask the question, son.
Would you swap your Huracan Performante for a 488 GTO super lightweight Speciale?
In a heartbeat.
There we go. We knew that was coming.
That's true.
If you had to sell your 488 Spider or the Huracan Performante, which would it be?
See, that's... It's close.
See, now that is fascinating to me because I think a lot of people have written off the 488. You know, people who've driven it and people who've just seen it or have heard about it. For some reason, that car did not get across how great I think, and I know you think it is.
That's why I bought one.
Yeah, and you bang on. And we had Emma here and she was saying how much she loved it. And it's a well-known thing on this podcast. Again, if you're joining us for the first time... Tony owns a beautiful red Ferrari 488 Spider, which he loves, and it has become the theme of this podcast.
So it comes up
every single week. And the hilarious thing is that our American colleagues, the Salamandrian team over in America...
What do they know?
They bash the 488 week in, week out. Yeah. And we love the 488 week in, week out. So something's going wrong. But you think that the 488 Spider is... as good as the Huracan Performante in terms of how it makes you feel.
How it makes me feel, exactly.
Because we're not pretending like they're actually competitive on track.
They're not competitive.
No, very different cars. Completely different cars.
But
the sensation you get, that is quite... I think that's amazing.
Yeah. But you need to... I know you're sort of on the fence because you're not a Lambo fan, similar to me. Mm. You need to drive it, mate. Yeah. It is incredible.
I need to check it out. I absolutely need to check it out. I think it's definitely, you know, we're going to get onto a second the sort of lap times and performance of this car.
For sure.
But everyone is saying that once they get in it, the sensations and the feelings are incredible.
And
definitely not like any sort of other Lambos that they've experienced. Just to come on to quickly the 488, whatever. Can we just call it the 488 Speciale for now?
Yeah.
Because it's a bit annoying. We don't actually know the name. If you missed it earlier this week, there was a sort of leaked image of what looked like either an internal briefing or maybe a sort of potential customer, VIP customer.
Did you like it?
Yeah, but it was such an awful photo. Like,
yeah, it wasn't.
The
quite.
Car was on a slant, on a stand. Like, it was at a weird angle. A lot of the sort of, you know, renders that we've seen to date, you know, kind of had similar features. So, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
And fundamentally for me, it's all going to come down to the stats of that car or what it's like to drive, because I think it's... I actually quite like the way the 488 looks already.
Yeah.
And a slightly more aggressive version. Great. But if you look at any of the cars, 360 to Challenge Stradale, 430 to Scud, 458 to Speciale, the visual differences are very small. They're very, very minor. So I'm not expecting much revolution, but I just want to know what the performance is going to be like.
But have you ever noticed with Ferrari, they do two models of the same and then they change the model completely. So if you think 360, 430, they never changed it a lot.
Oh, you're
458, 488.
And 348, 355?
Exactly. And then they change, they could have a complete revamp.
That's very interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
So the new, the 488 replacement is set to be...
Which should be called the 512 just for lols.
Whatever they call it. It will probably look like a spaceship, like 720.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
720. Yeah. but the few things, did you get a chance to look through the sort of, you know, the actual leaked information that came out as well as the picture of the car?
So I saw something about 750 horsepower.
Around 750 horsepower, and incredible. They're reckoning around 40% lighter.
Yeah.
40%. That is ridiculous. Yeah. And as quick, if not quicker, than a LaFerrari.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be nuts, this thing. We are expecting it to be fully revealed or formally revealed at Geneva Motor Show. At the moment, as I say, there's no confirmation on the name. A lot of people are rumouring the fact that it's going to be called GTO. We have talked about this before on the podcast, so sorry for anyone who's already listened to some of the previous episodes, but we're both so excited about this car, it's all we're going to talk about.
Even though I have a Lambo, yeah, I still
there we go.
And, but deadly excited.
But now there's been like a sort of officially leaked photo, yeah, it's like even more exciting.
You know it's coming.
Yeah, it feels real. Okay, well look, let's go back to the Huracan Performante and what we were talking about with lap times, because I want to touch on the Grand Tour. So I've been watching a lot of the Grand Tour season 2, as I know you have, and I want to delve into that in 2 seconds, but the reason that it made me think of it is because the Performante set the most insane blistering lap time on the new sort of Top Gear track with the new Top Gear test driver stick replacement type thing.
The lady.
The lady. It's not Miss Emma Walsh, by the way. but that, I mean, that's another proof in the pudding. That must have made you so happy when you saw how quick the car was.
Well, do you know what I had to do? Because I didn't mean to, but I released my car on the day of the Grand Tour.
Oh,
so
really?
So I was getting so many messages.
Oh, that's amazing. My God. Yeah, but I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, so I told everyone that I bought it on the Friday. It was a big surprise. Okay. And then the Grand Tour came out. I didn't even know they were reviewing the car. So anyway, smashed the lap record.
Yeah.
I had to go back.
It didn't beat the Vulcan. Made legal.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Tony. I'm with you. Yeah.
So I had to go back and watch the 720 one again to see if I'd done it in the wet or the dry.
Yeah, because you couldn't believe how...
Yeah.
Well, in today's episode, which I know you missed, they did the Ford GT.
Okay. Don't tell me. No, tell me, actually. I don't care. Tell me.
What do you reckon?
Faster. Really? Not faster?
I think 2 seconds slower.
I nearly swore. Really?
PC channel, don't demonetize me, even though this channel's not monetized yet. Thanks, YouTube.
But 10,000 subscribers.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you very much. Actually, thank you so much, because I did mean to thank everyone that has already subscribed. I think we've both been blown away by the support.
People
for
like
this,
us.
Yeah, for this. People like me, Tony. No, people like Tony. They don't like me. I'm just here to facilitate your annoying jokes. But yeah, we've been blown away by the support. So huge thank you to everyone that has already subscribed. 10,000 of you in a little over, or just under a month, actually, which is incredible. So here is to the next 10,000 and however far it may grow. But it's great to see that you guys are enjoying it. Please, you know, let us know any thoughts, any feedback, how you want us to develop it. I am trying to implement some changes to the way that these videos come out. I did a post on Twitter that I'm looking for a sort of a B-roll editor, an experienced editor who can come along and sort of add some B-roll and graphics just to kind of spice up these videos so you don't have to literally stare at our faces for 35 minutes. I do think that
are you not looking
painful.
For a new host as well?
I hate you so much. I'm so annoyed I gave you this opportunity to become a figure on my channel. As I say, experience only editors, I'm looking for that. And then also, a lot of you have been saying make the episodes longer. But no, the reason we're doing 35 minutes is, firstly, I think majority of people's commutes are around 35 minutes. I think any longer than that, some people start cutting cuts
off. That's our core audience. That's where we want to be.
Yeah, commutes. That's when I listen to podcasts.
Okay.
Not that I commute.
I used to.
There we go. So yeah, 35. We're sticking at 35 minutes basically. But let us know anything you want us to talk about. Anything else you might want us to add and change and guests, etc.
So you lived in London and you went to school in Eton.
I didn't go to school in Eton. I didn't. I went to the rival school.
The rival.
Back to the Grand Tour though. Have you been enjoying it? What are your thoughts of season 2?
Better than season 1.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I really, like, season 1, I kind of forced myself to watch like 3-4 maybe episodes. I'm genuinely excited when each of the episodes are coming out for season 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I do personally think that there's still too much like scripting and I now, having been in this world, know too much about the behind the scenes to see when it's being set up.
Yeah.
You know, like today's episode, again, sorry for anyone who hasn't seen this, but they did a segment where it was Clarkson and Hammond driving two classics and May in a brand new Civic Type R. And James May was playing the part of classics are crap, go modern, which made no sense to me at all because he has forever been the
He's got classic cars.
And he even talks about a Nürburgring lap time as a Civic Type R attribute when he hates Nürburgring lap time. So it was really weird. And it was almost like they realized halfway through because Clarkson and Hammond start going like, you know, it's weird May's doing this because he owns classic cars and stuff. But it was just a bit weird. And I feel like they kind of forgot halfway through the characters that they were supposed to be playing.
Yeah.
So that does annoy me. But the challenges, the way it is filmed. Oh, Tony, if only we had those budgets.
Do you think it's the way it's filmed is better than the old Top Gear?
Oh, my God, yes. Well, it's an evolution. And they took that crew with them, I think, or the majority of that crew with them, which is why it feels so absolutely Top Gear.
Yeah.
But it is just shot in the most amazing way and edited in the most brilliant way. And that saves them from the slightly sort of painful setup moments, I think.
Because when it was Top Gear, it was very natural, wasn't it? Well,
I think the thing was...
Later on, not maybe so much.
Yeah, not so much. What I've learned about this... So for those of you that don't know, I have had some meetings and experiences and spoken to lots of different people who have worked on that show at various times. And the initial series were scripted in a certain element, but there was a natural chemistry between the three of them.
Like us.
This is all scripted. I think over time, they were then nervous that was wearing down a bit. And there was a, you know, Andy Stevens? No. Oh, my God.
He's the director.
Yeah, what's his name? Oh, is it Andy Stevens?
Andy Williams?
Oh, my God, I've had it. Okay.
Wilkins?
Oh, my God. Whatever. Guys, help us out.
Yeah, yeah.
The fourth one, you know, very much shares that sense of humour. And the jokes are the right thing. It's the same banter. It's just a bit set up. That's the problem. Yeah. You know, it's not natural.
Maybe they've run out of ideas.
I think so. It's only so long. How many years have they been, you know...
12 and then
on
second
screen together.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, we're getting a bit caught up in stuff now. All I want to say is that I'm really enjoying season two. And it'd be great to know your thoughts. Are you watching Grand Tour season two? Top Gear. Top Gear's coming back any day now as well. So we've got Matt LeBlanc, Rory Reed and Chris Harris coming back. So we're going to be like inundated with amazing car content.
We're screwed.
How do we compete?
You do.
How?
You just got to get on.
I'm sorry. When I watch those shows, Grand Tour or Top Gear, I am blown away. Like, I watch it jaw drop. Like, how do we even begin to compete with this
stuff? But then that's your inspiration, isn't it? That's your goal.
I guess. But anyway, it's a exciting time, I think, but a worrying time for my own channel. So yeah, check it out, Grand Tour Season 2. If you haven't been watching it, I do recommend giving it a go. There are a few dodgy episodes, but majority of the season has been good so far.
Yeah.
Now...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Moving on from that, something I want to bring up. Since we last saw each other, I went and test drove the brand new Audi RS4.
And?
Well, you know what? I really liked it. The issue I had is it was a brilliant Audi.
Yeah.
And that's all I had to say about
it. As they normally are.
It was just really good. Don't get me wrong. I was very happy to have the experience. I love Audis and RS4, very cool car. But I didn't have much more to say about it apart from it's really good. But one thing I did mention in that video was, could it be the perfect car to drive around the world in? And it's something I want to pick up and talk to you about and say, what do you think, Tony, would be the perfect car to drive around the entire world? So we're literally, let's say we're starting in LA and you're doing an entire lap of the world.
Okay, so what comes to mind right away now, because you put me on the spot?
Don't say it. Please don't say it.
Porsche.
Okay.
Phew. No, Porsche can say 488.
No, I thought you'd say RS6.
No, no. Anyway, no.
Porsche. Yeah.
911.
Okay.
991.
Okay.
.2.
Okay. I love Porsche. Keep going.
GTS.
Oh. You know what? That is like one of the best things you've ever said, because I think it's a fabulous idea.
Mate, everything I say on is the best.
No, I disagree entirely. Do you know what though? I was thinking about this on the way over. That would be great until I think you got to like Guatemala or like deepest, darkest Africa. Do you want a Porsche? Do you want to park up a Porsche in India? Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Because it's a Porsche. The thing about the RS4 is that debadge it, it's just an Audi. I don't think anyone would bat an eyelid. You can make it really mucky.
But do you want to drive that in the twisties, in the sunshine?
Yeah, but would it... I'm going to change my mind in a second and tell you the car that I would take. But I just think for every amazing Swiss Alps road that you have with the sun, you've also got barreling across an Egyptian desert or driving through Vietnam, or you know what, you're driving around the world. You've got every... And a 911, it's still quite a low car. Like, you know, once you start getting to the bumpy stuff, don't get me wrong, I'm so with you, but I think it's unrealistic. And bags, if you're driving around the world, you need a lot of bags. Where are you
going to
put
them? Another one then.
Go.
New Bentley Continental.
Okay, okay, but the... Do you want a Bentley in Delhi? Actually, Delhi's probably all right, but do you want a Bentley in, I don't know where, like, okay, can I say something?
Of course.
I'm going to go with Range Rover Sport SVR.
Oh.
Do you know what? Don't say that. Firstly, they're brilliant cars. Secondly, they've just facelifted it. It looks amazing.
It does look nice with a carbon bonnet, actually.
But Range Rovers are everywhere. They're all over the world. Range Rover, they're everywhere.
Even in Africa.
Even in Africa. Probably not the new ones, but I think they are the new ones.
Well, they're the UK versions that have...
Don't do that joke. Tony's implementing that they're all stolen, but anyway. Range Rover's everywhere. It's incredibly capable. It sounds amazing. The new one does 0-60 in some stupid time, like 4.2 seconds or something ridiculous.
Okay. Full up with luggage?
Full up with luggage. Super comfortable. You can make the rear seats into a bed. You can fit people in it. So if you're going around the world and you meet up with some friends, you've got mates. The 911, you're really stuck to one passenger, which maybe is a good thing if you're a loner like me. But, you know, if you've got friends, that you're going to struggle. The only problem with the Sport, the time the Sport will be an issue, the SVR, is that one day you're on the Swiss Alps and somebody goes, oh, you want to come film my LaFerrari? And you go, yeah, sure, let's go for a cruise. And then you're in a Range Rover.
Okay, can I say one more car?
Please, because I feel like there needs to be a mid-ground.
Okay.
Go.
So the only one then.
Don't say it.
Macan GTS.
Okay, no, good. I still thought you were going to say RS6. Because all of you that are going to be going, oh, RS6 is the best car in the world. The problem with
you
the
don't
RS...
Like them.
Oh, my God. The problem with the RS6 is... what was it? I did have a
What's
few.
The problem, Sam?
I had some.
Oh, dear.
I did think of some. Well, anyway.
There isn't a problem with it.
Oh, I did think of some. Damn it, this is so awkward. I've ruined
my
own argument.
It's comfortable, it's fast, there's loads of room. It's understated. Everything that you've just said, it's the fuel economy's not bad on a run. Where would you like me to end? 20,000 mile, 2-year service plan.
Yeah, it probably is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the best.
It's the most depressing thing I've ever heard. But if you are going to drive around the world, it do they do an? No, I know the answer to this. They don't do an RS6 all road, do they?
No, mate.
Could you make one?
No, mate.
Why not? Hashtag project car. That'd be so cool.
Oh.
Reversed bagged.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't think it would work.
You were going to say Macan GTS.
Yeah.
Brilliant car.
Yeah.
I want one in life. And it probably would be quite good. It would be a good one to go around the world in, I think. But it's, again, Porsche. I would just... I'm being a real snob, but I would just be nervous being somewhere where you had to park even a, you know, Macan. It's still got a Porsche badge. It's still a quite a glossy car. You're right in the sense that an Audi or even a Mercedes, I think, still has a bit more stigma than Audi.
Yeah.
But you know, like the E63 wagon.
Yeah, the E63S.
That's lovely.
Still have an Auris.
Oh, loser. So just because there was quite a theme there of SUVs, something we haven't done since the return of this format is Tony's top tips for car buying people out there.
Are we still doing this?
It had a catchier name last time, didn't it? Tony's tips. We are still doing this, but not as regularly as we once thought we were. But SUVs. The world is obsessed. I am obsessed, as I think most of the audience over on the main channel know. Okay, let's do three SUVs to buy or not to buy or to get out of or to get in right now. Tony's tips.
So to get in... Macan GTS.
You don't think they're going to do a new version like the Cayenne they've just updated? When's the new Macan coming?
I think they'll launch it next year. So it's like 18 months away.
Okay, so you've got a bit of time to get in.
We've got a bit of time, but then the GTS will be after then.
So, yes, of course. But yeah, okay. But you, so you, a Macan GTS.
Yeah.
GTS, get in. What are they? 60?
60, a decent spec, like 66, 67?
Pretty amazing value for money when you think of the new Mercedes GLC 63S is like 79 or something.
And will be worth 50p.
Yeah. So do Macan GTSs hold value?
Yeah, so an average Macan GTS after a year and about 8,000 to 10,000 miles are still list.
No way.
Yeah, honestly.
An SUV?
Yeah.
Oh my God, why have I not got one?
You bought a Cayman.
I did buy a Cayman. Wow, okay, Macan GTS, get in. Okay, I think that's good. We should go and drive one of those. We haven't done that on the channel. Let's do that on the channel.
I've got one coming.
Do you guys want to see that? You've got one coming?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you do.
In March. I ordered one.
Guys, do you want to see a Macan GTS video? Let us know. Comment below. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and here on YouTube. Okay, great. Macan GTS, get in.
I have to say a Range Rover, because... You've got to have a Range Rover.
Because they're the best.
Because they're the best.
I still... That's always going to be my mentality when it comes to SUVs. They're the best. And so the new shape...
Yeah, the new shape.
What do you think of that big new hybrid? The Vogue hybrid. Because JLR are trying to go super electric. They did that whole mission statement saying that in 2020 or 2022, all of their fleet are going to be electric.
Yeah.
So Range Rover are going to have to start moving over. Remind me in a second. Range Rover Vogue Hybrid, do you think that's going to be a winner?
Not now.
Too soon?
Too soon. Too expensive. Yeah.
Speaking of too expensive, again, another sort of shot or leak that you might have come across, which I don't know if you did, the announcement or the hint towards a Range Rover Coupe.
Two-door. I saw it.
Okay. So do you want to know something? Did I call you about this?
No. I saw it. We haven't really spoke because you've been away.
Four to six months ago. I got a call from my JLR mates, because I'm always trying to buy every Jaguar, as you now know, since the Autosport Awards when I declared my Project 8 fail, saying JLR are making a very bespoke two-door Range Rover. Limited units, big SVR, big power, collector's edition. You want to know the price?
Does it start with a one or two?
Well, considering they just launched that Defender... V8 Defender for £150,000. £150,000 for a Defender. When you could go out and take one to any Defender tuning company and do it for £20,000.
£250,000
for the two-door Range Rover Coupe. Now, this was 4 to 6 months ago. It was a very initial... Basically, they weren't asking me because they knew I didn't have that money. But they called up and said, do you know anyone who might be interested in this type of car? should we be building it? And I was like, well, you're clearly building it. And no, I don't know anyone who would want to spend 250 grand on a Range Rover.
So wait a second. That is an inconvenient Bentayga.
I think it will be cooler. I don't know what... I think it's bespoke. I don't think it's on a platform. I don't think they've taken a Range Rover Sport and shrunk... Like, I think it's...
What's the point of a two-door SUV? SUV's supposed to be...
Oh, it'd be cool though, wouldn't it?
No.
Why not? I think it'd be awesome. I would have it.
Of course you would.
I think it's brilliant. I love the idea because I love the Range Rover Sport SVR and I'm assuming that's what it's based on.
You're crazy. Absolutely crazy. I think you lost it.
I did lose it. But you think... Okay, so wait. Going back to what we were supposed to be talking about, you reckon the new shape Range Rovers, big and sport, are good ones to get into? Or just...
So I'd say SVR. Because if you look at SVRs of the previous shape, although they are a lot of money to buy new, they haven't tanked.
Okay. So new, they were like 105?
105.
105. And
they're like 80 with 20,000 miles on them.
It's not bad, is it?
2015
cars.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
That is not bad at all. When you consider the VAT, 20% VAT. So really, the car was only 80 grand plus VAT.
Sure.
So it hasn't really lost any money.
No, it's a great shout, I think. Two quite expensive cars there, though. Classic us. What are your sort of, you know, bargain, your 30 grand? I know it's not really your pick of the month.
It's not what I do.
I know it's not what you do. But I'm just talking about from a general consumer point, you know.
Okay, is it as a used car?
Yeah,
okay.
I guess, yeah. If you want to get into a nice SUV, but it's around the 30 grand mark rather than the 60 or 100.
Okay, so I can only go on what I sell and what I do well with and don't cause me too many problems.
Absolutely,
and
please.
And that's KN Diesel.
You know what? Funnily enough, Harvey from AV Engineering, the guys who look after my Ferrari 360, has got a KN diesel that he picked up for 35 grand and he loves it.
Yeah.
It's fully spec'd. It's got like literally every option ticked.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a good shout, Tony. Well done. God, you know what you're talking about. So there you go. There you go, guys. Have it. As I said, SUV is super popular, something that I'm always happy to talk about because I love them. Do we have any idea how long we've been today? Let me see if I can.
You normally put a watch on.
I know. I kind of messed up there. It's because I'm jet lagged. We've got 5 minutes. What do you want to talk about?
have we run out of things to say?
Yeah, that was the end of my list. Anything you want to say? We can make it a short episode. Let's say I'm jet lagged from the 1 hour time difference in Norway.
Okay, so how was your trip then?
Oh, the trip was amazing. The trip was absolutely incredible. For those of you that don't know or don't watch over, if you haven't seen the videos from the Team Galag Snow Tour, over on the main channel, youtube.com/seenthroughglass, you can see 3 videos I made from that trip. I was invited super last minute, as you know. And so it was all a bit hectic trying to arrange getting there and finding a car that was already there. A lot of you asked, why didn't I take the Porsche or the Ferrari? I just couldn't arrange it logistically. It was very expensive. It was very hard.
Ferrari wouldn't have made it.
Wouldn't have survived the winter. So I had to have a car that was already there. And amazingly, Mazda saved the day. Obviously, not the sort of first thing you think about when you think of Snow Tour. A very sensible, safe, and highly spec'd Mazda CX-5.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of affordable SUVs. And it was, you know what? It was actually great. I really had no expectations of that car. It was literally a tool to be used to get from A to B. And it was so fun. I was the running joke of the group, which was great. The safety systems, I mean, obviously not great for driving on an ice track. I was driving 3 times faster than anyone else on that trip. Even the Maybach, the Lando Londole. Because it just didn't let you die. It saved you every... Anyway, enough Mazda fanboying. The trip itself was amazing. Norway, insanely beautiful. Have you ever done any like ice track driving?
No, I'd love to.
Mate, now you're into your drifting scene. Honestly, it is hilarious.
Is it?
But you need minimal power. Like, don't do what these idiots did from Team Galag, who, you know, they literally just take the craziest supercars out there. The guy who had the most fun was the E30 BMW M3.
Was it?
Absolutely. It was the most perfectly balanced, perfect amount of power, sliding everywhere. Just having a brilliant time.
Yeah.
So he was the one that I think we were all a bit jealous of. So I reckon a Mazda MX-5 rather than a CX-5 or, you know, like...
The little bath?
Yeah, the little Abarth is essentially the same car.
Same car.
But, you know, something like that, which is, you know, I would go in a 330i or a 235i rather than an M2, if that makes sense. And there's lots of companies that do them. John Markar, you know John Markar?
No.
John Markar is a company. I'll share his details with you. Thank you. I recommend you trying to do it. And anyone else out there, as I say, they can be very expensive, these trips. But if you have the opportunity to go out there and do some ice track driving, it is a huge amount of fun because it's safe.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's still a lot of danger involved. I was convinced I was going to fall through the ice at various moments, even though it's like 50 centimeters thick. But if you go off, you're usually plowing into hopefully soft snow. And the cars did get damaged. There was a GT3 there, 991, that got ripped apart, mate.
Did it?
Ripped apart.
No.
Luckily, the very rich guy just bat his eyelid.
didn't care.
I was like, what the hell?
But they're not expensive to repair, you know?
No, he seemed very casual about the whole thing. But in essence, you can kind of, you know, spin off at quite high speeds and not really have too much injury to yourself or the car. So I do recommend that. Look at that. Perfect timing. Well done, Tony. Well done, Tony. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in and for watching. As I say, if you are here on YouTube, make sure you are subscribing for the future episodes to come. Every Sunday night, you will be getting an episode with either myself and Tony, or myself and a guest, or myself, Tony, and a guest. How exciting would that be? But if you do want to just listen to us, you can go over to soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or iTunes podcasts by searching Behind the Glass or Seen Through Glass. I feel like we should set up some like Instagram or Twitter page for Behind the Glass as well.
Yeah, that would be
getting ahead of ourselves a bit, but anyway. Give it a thumbs up if you've enjoyed it, and we will catch up with you very, very soon. Goodbye.
See you guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.